Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. We move from the Women's Intercontinental Champion in Lyra Valkyria to a champion of hockey. Greg Wyshynski joins us now from ESPN here on the program. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. What's up, Greg?
The first, I believe, women's intercontinental champion in WWE.
That is correct. That's correct.
Exciting. I mean, that's dope. Yeah, the women's rumble was pretty obvious that Charlotte Flair was going to win, I think, from the moment she declared.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, that kind of gives you what you're looking for out of a WrestleMania match, probably, so I'm okay with it.
It's got to be her versus Tiffany, right?
Oh, I think that's definitely where it's probably headed with, you know, the legacy and the history on Charlotte's side, and, you know, chasing her dad's record, I think, too, is part of it as well. So it'll be fun. I'm still extremely confused and intrigued what they're doing with Jey Uso, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, for sure. Rob will be at Bridgestone Arena Monday night, so we're looking forward to seeing what happens there. The NHL will be moving into its break for a lot of people, but the Four Nations Face-Off tournament will get underway next week. I got to tell you, I'm intrigued by this. So, you know, I know it's not going to replicate the Olympics, and I know that's probably not what they're looking for, but I do think these are obviously the four best teams in the world, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see these players compete.
Well, let's caveat that by saying it's the four best teams in the world that can actually compete in an international tournament at this point.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fair.
our former friends, I guess, in Russia would probably say that they're probably as good as Sweden, and probably better than Finland at this point.
See, I was just pretending didn't exist. You know, like what we do.
you and the rest of the international hockey community. The ruling came down this week that Belarus and Russia are going to be banned from World Championships and World Juniors for the 25-26 season, which kind of puts their status for the 2026 Olympics in doubt. So ultimately, it's the IOC that makes that call if there'll be Russia or some version of Russia in that tournament, but it certainly lends some intrigue into what kind of best on best we'll have in the Olympics. But to get back to Four Nations, you know, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a better quality of play in theory than the World Cup was a few years ago, because that tournament was held in September. Those boys definitely had some preseason legs in some of those games. And I think having it in the middle of the season, everybody's in really good shape, and the game should be competitive. I do, you know, wonder how the players are approaching this. I mean, obviously, Alex Pietrangelo of the Vegas Golden Knights has already opted out, saying he'd rather have the rest, the break. You have a couple guys, Sidney Crosby, Quinn Hughes, who are battling injuries right now. And, you know, what's their status going to be for the USA and Canada? So I do wonder if ultimately there'll be some decisions of guys saying, I'm too banged up, I'd rather focus on the playoff run. And the NHL seems like they're okay with it. I mean, and look, they want to put on the best show that they can, but there's no penalty for guys opting out of this tournament like there is for guys opting out of the All-Star game, which kind of tells you that the NHL understands what this tournament is and understands, you know, what the regular season is for these guys, and is willing to kind of maybe, you know, be a little bit more understanding if certain players don't make the call for this thing.
As the NHL gets ready for the break and the trade deadline coming up in about a month, we've already kind of seen some moves happen across the league. I want to start with the JT Miller situation. I mean, is that the best outcome that you saw with him ultimately going back to the Rangers?
Probably the only outcome that I saw. you know, they were in talks with Carolina before Carolina made the Mikko Rantanen trade. I don't ultimately know if he signs off to go to Carolina. That was never really – I don't even know if they approached him to waive, but they were negotiating to see if they could maybe find some deal they liked from Carolina. I kind of always felt it was going to be the Rangers or bust for JT Miller. And in a full no-movement clause, they clearly in Vancouver wanted him to be the guy they moved out to hopefully have Elias Pettersson get back to being a 100-point player with the, you know, for lack of a better term, bully in the room, shipped off to another team. I think the return they got was quickly turned around into a trade with Pittsburgh to get Marcus Pettersson. They just signed him to a long-term deal. I like him as part of their blue line. So I think everyone did pretty well. I think Pittsburgh actually did really well getting an unprotected first-round pick in 2026 potentially out of this trade that the Rangers sent to Vancouver. But, you know, the Rangers are going to be better at 5-on-5 with Miller. They're going to have a little bit more snarl, a little bit more competitive spirit with Miller. and the Vancouver Canucks hopefully get their star center to play like a star center again without the toxicity surrounding him in the locker room anymore.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski on the Chase and McJoe Show. Greg, I'm always fascinated by trades and how they go down and all this, the process of everything. For the Nashville Predators, would Barry Trotz call people or other GMs call him if they get, you know, if this doesn't get any better in the next couple of weeks, which yes. Who knows? What? How does this all work? I mean, do people inquire to him or does he make the first move?
It's funny because, like, one of the things you always have to do is parse the language of these guys. And you know, you'll have players that everybody assumes are on the trading block, and they'll be like, you'll have a GM say, we're not actively seeking to trade this player. Meanwhile, they're fielding every phone call from every other guy in the league to talk about that guy. But as long as they're not making the call, then plausible deniability, they are not shopping that player. You know, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, obviously, Barry, I assume, is going to be aggressive in the next few months and trying to retool this team a bit. Especially in the middle of the lineup. But, you know, you're going to have teams calling on players like Ryan O'Reilly, for example, that, you know, see their lineup, see the need for a player like him in the middle of that lineup and try to figure out if something works. And, you know, we've talked about O'Reilly before, I think, in our conversations. And ultimately, I like the idea of the Predators trying to run this thing back with some augmentations next season just to see if you get better results. But it's hard to deny that at his price point, and his ability, and knowing that he'll be, what, roundabouts 36 years old at the end of his deal, like, it's hard to not explore the possibility. He doesn't have any trade protection. There's not a whole hell of a lot of centers available right now in this league, especially with Calgary deciding they're going to try to be a playoff team and not trading Nazem Kadri. So he might have some legit value at the deadline as a controllable contract who doesn't make a ton of money under an ever-increasing salary cap.
Greg, we had a thing this week where a former Titans player was at the Super Bowl now, and he talked about how he took himself out of a game because he wasn't getting targets and didn't want to be here. Is there an instance in the NHL recently where you know a player that did that, like, this sucks, I don't want to be here anymore, take me out of here?
Not in a game necessarily, but there's definitely situations where players didn't feel like they were being used correctly in a number of games. And I'll point to a recent example, which was Pierre-Luc Dubois with the Los Angeles Kings, where, you know, he got traded from Winnipeg to Los Angeles. He's got this huge contract, and he's an utter disaster in L.A., like, to the point where he was one and done. They moved him to Washington in the offseason. And he's really played well this year for the Capitals, one of the reasons why they're, like, challenging for the best in the league. But when you heard him after leaving L.A., it was a lot of sort of like, they miscast me. You know, they asked me to play a style I wasn't good at, and they certainly weren't putting me in the situations where I could thrive, you know, playing with the best offensive players on the team. And so it's not an ask out, but it's definitely symptomatic of maybe why things didn't work out in L.A., where you have guys that just say, hey, you know, you should give me more ice time. You should put me in better situations and I can thrive. But if you refuse to do that, then maybe it's better if we part ways.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. So does Alex Ovechkin have 17 more in him this year? He's already got 25, so I he's close.
I was talking with our ESPN stats and info guys, and, you know, at the rate he's going this season, there's a chance he'll break it before the playoffs start, like early April. If he sticks to his, like, career going rate, I think that it probably pushes into next season. But I mean, he just keeps piling them on. I mean, even when you think he's gone dry, you know, then all of a sudden the goals pop up again, and now we're, you know, under 20 away from him breaking the Gretzky record. So I predicted before the season he'd get it this year, and I'll stick with that. I'm optimistic that Ovi puts this thing to bed before the playoffs start.
Do you think people are as excited about this as they should be, or because there's just so much going on and sports and in the world that people aren't paying as close attention to it like maybe they should?
I think your second point's the more important one, which is that, you know, the attention span of the average sports fan is so limited. I mean, think about how much lack of buzz there is versus other seasons for the Super Bowl. And it's not just because it's a thing we've already seen before, and it's not Chiefs fatigue. It's because the Luka Doncic trade happened. And so that becomes a thing that sucks all the oxygen out of the room for a few days. And then, you know, you follow it with the Butler thing. And so, like, the NBA is in the zeitgeist for a week at a time when you'd normally be talking about the Super Bowl. But you know, come Saturday or Sunday morning, like, no one's talking about the NBA. So, I mean, it's a very short attention span sports economy. And I think 17 away is too far. When you get 10 away, maybe it increases. When you get 5 away, now everybody's paying attention. And I do think that ultimately you come back to what I've always said about hockey, which is that there are very few things about hockey that resonate with the casual sports fan. But one of them is the Stanley Cup, and another one is Wayne Gretzky. And so the idea that Gretzky's record could fall to Ovechkin, who, by the way, I think a lot of casual sports fans know the name, is probably going to resonate and probably make this a real crossover cultural moment for the NHL.
Greg, I have a story for your little column here in a few weeks. Chase and I are flying with the Predators to Chicago today, so this will be the start of their massive win streak. So when you pin this column, when they make the playoffs, you can see it all started on February the 6th when two boneheads were asked to travel with the Predators to Chicago. So just put that little notes column to the side, all right?
Have you guys been on the plane before?
I have. I don't think Joe has.
I've traveled
with them for the playoffs.
To the surprise of no one, they don't let me on any plane with anybody of importance, you know, because they know I'll be over in the corner scribbling around, you know, who's winning at the poker game. But you got to let me know how that is as a first timer, because I've always been intrigued. I assume it's just a bunch of people sleeping and playing, you know, like Nintendo Switch now, because that's the era of athlete that we're in. But I'm intrigued to see what happens. But again, like, I'm all for it, man. At last glance on StatsLeaks this morning, the Preds have a 0.6% chance of making the playoffs, which I'm not a mathematician, but doesn't seem good.
So right.
We need to put the pedal down. We need to get them going. We need to make this thing interesting, because time is running short.
Well, I'll tell you, I used to travel with the Titans charter plane, and they would play a game. They would a game called Dropping Dollars, but they used $100 bills, and they came by asking me if I wanted to play. So I got nervous, and I was like, I don't know what to do. But so that was my only experience of being on a professional charter, is like, just shut your mouth and stay out of the way.
Yeah, that's got real. We're all going to the best club in New York and ordering bottles energy, you know, and you're just like, on the one hand, I'd love to go to the best club in New York. On the other hand, $10,000 for a bottle of Stoli. I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't seem right.
It's something, that is for sure. Greg, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next week.
Anytime. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, joining us here on the program. Always appreciate him. Presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.